Translation, the purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jaya Prabhupada. There in the house of the demon, all the princess kidnapped by Narakasura at once became alert upon seeing the Lord, the friend of the distressed. They looked upon Him with eagerness, joy and shyness, and offered to be His wives. Purport. Narakasura kidnapped many daughters of great kings and kept them imprisoned in his palace. But when he was killed by the Lord and the Lord entered the house of the demon, all the princes were enlivened with joy and offered to become his wives, because the Lord is the only friend of the distressed. Unless the Lord accepted them, there will be no chance of their being married, because the demon kidnapped them from their father's custody, and therefore no one would agree to marry them. According to Vedic society, girls are transferred from the custody of the father to the custody of the husband. Since these princes had already been taken away from the custody of their fathers, it would have been difficult for them to have any husband other than the Lord Himself. Umajana temirandasya gyananjana shalakaya chakshurumilitam jena tasmai sri gurave namah sri chaitanya mano vistam stapitam jena bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadandikam Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shyadvaita Gadata Rashivasari Guru Bhatta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangalam Gayate Girim Yatkripa Tamaham Vande Shri Guru Dinatarinam. By the mercy of the spiritual master, a blind man can see stars in the sky. By his mercy, a lame man can cross mountains. By his mercy, a dumb man like me can speak few words on Srimad Bhagavatam today. I offer my humble obeisances to the lotus feet of my spiritual master. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Vrastaya Bhutale Shimati Tamala Krishna Goswamini Tinamine. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Vrastaya Bhutale Shimati Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Tinamine. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shinavati Paskara Desatarine. And my humble obeisances to all the Vaishnavas present here and to all those present online and all those around the universe, vancha kalpa dhruvascha agripa sindhu vaivacha paditanam pavane vyo vashnavi vyo namonam. There in the house of the demon, all the princes kidnapped by Narakasura at once became alert upon seeing the Lord, the friend of the distressed. They looked upon him with eagerness, joy and shyness, and offered to be his wives. So the Lord is actually the only friend, the only shelter for the distressed soul, when there is no other hope, no other shelter. All these princesses, they were taken away from the shelter and the custody of their fathers. They didn't have a husband, and therefore no protection. And who is there when there is no protection? When you are kidnapped by Maya, when you are kidnapped by your mind, when you are kidnapped by criminals. The Lord is the only one, Avignata in the fourth canto says he's the oldest friend, the Paramatma, and he never betrays the distressed soul, and he's always there to rescue us every time we surrender or we think of him. So he's actually the Adi Purusham, the best. Purusham means, you know, someone who's got all the qualities of beautiful qualities, and is the best one to give shelter. He never fails his devotee. Never. In the history, you can see Draupadi. She had no shelter. The husband couldn't do anything. Even the husbands couldn't do anything. They were bound by the vow of being sold to the Kauravas, to Duryodhan. They were sold out to Duryodhan. So they had no freedom. So they couldn't protect Draupadi. This poor girl was disrupted, was abused, and even the grandfather Bhishma Dev couldn't do anything. They were all subjugated by Duryodhan, Kripacharya, Dronacharya. Even a great devotee like Vidura, he couldn't say anything. Bhishma Dev is one of the Mahajans, protector of Dharma. He's supposed to protect Dharma. But he couldn't protect Draupadi. So he felt Draupadi. He kept quiet. But who was there to protect Draupadi? Was Krishna. He came. So the Lord, he came and he delivered all these queens, 16,000 of them. Can see how powerful personality. And he gets criticized. You know, he also kidnapped Rukmini, the daughter of Bhishmaka. And she had a brother, Rukmi. He was a demon. He wanted Rukmini to be married to Shishupal, another demon, friends of his. You can see the cliques here, you know. Demons, they're always attracted by the company of other demons. And they want the best to go to them, to their friends. But the father of Rukmini wanted Rukmini to be married to Krishna. He was a good man, a good king. Anyway, later on, Balaram, he broke his teeth with club. The same teeth when he was laughing at... what was the pastime? He was laughing on the exchange of dices. They were playing, you know, some, you know, dices. And he was actually showing his teeth like a gorilla to... Balaram, when Balaram lost. So Balaram punished his teeth. He broke them up with his club. This was later on. So the Lord, he without hesitation, he came. He understood the desire of Rukmini and he kidnapped her. That was bona fide kidnap. Not like Narakasura. Narakasura kidnapped all these 16,000 princesses against their will. But Rukmini, she was calling for Krishna. She was willing to be kidnapped by Krishna. What a privilege. Can you imagine? You call upon Krishna, please kidnap me. That immoral act becomes the highest dharma. And And the Lord got criticized for that. Later on we can explain, you know, how there was nothing wrong for Krishna to do that. Then he loved his wives, he loved his consorts. They were all his consort. Later on he said that he went to the heavenly planets to get the Parijata flower for Satyabhama, sorry. And the wife of Indra became jealous, envious. How dare you stealing the flower from the heavenly planet, from our garden? And Indra became angry and he was starting to chase Krishna. The envy, you can see, the envy. But they don't know, the demigods, but they knew very little that, what is it, the verse? Sarvaloka Maheshwaram. How does it start? Bhaktaram tapasayagyam sarvaloka maheshwaram. All the planets belong to Krishna. And whatever there is within those planets, it's all possessions of Krishna. He didn't do anything wrong to steal this flower. He didn't do anything wrong to associate with 16,000 wives. Because they were his internal potencies. All these queen, Rukmini, Satyabhama, they are all expansion of Srimati Radharani. And there is nothing wrong for Krishna to associate very intimately with his happiness, to have sensual pleasure. Or you can say, in a crude way, to have sex with his happiness. It's not immoral. Often Krishna gets criticized, you know, for having an affair with the wife of another man, Abhimanyu, Radharani. Radharani was legitimately married to Abhimanyu, so-called marriage. But really the spiritual marriage was with Krishna. But it was not a sacrilege because Abhimanyu, the word Abhimanyu in Sanskrit means a man and God at the same time, both. It's Krishna, but it's also a man. So Krishna expounded himself as Abhimanyu to take care of his own consort. Because no mortal man can play the husband of Radharani. Murtimat Anasuyave. We are all contaminated by envy. Our human forms, Murti Mat Anasuyave. Only Krishna has a form which is without envy. And Radharani is the same. She represents the happiness, internal potency of Krishna. All these queens, they are none other than the pleasure potency, internal pleasure potency of Krishna. If you are in a room, you know, let's say Ramanishinga Prabhu is in Prabhupada's room and then all alone and enjoying his own happiness, will he get criticized for that? He's having an affair with his happiness, with his internal happiness. Is that an immoral act? It's not. So Lord Krishna, he manifests his Ladini Shakti, female potency, because the Lord, it's not male nor female, but at the same time is both, originally. And that's why we have the male and female concept. You know, In every species, you have a female, you have the male, human beings, animals, aquatics, insects. We are all originated from this original configuration of God, that is, male and female at the same time. So for Krishna to have, to reunite, you know, he expands Srimati Radharani, she comes out of his heart, happiness, the happiness of Krishna. That's why Radharani, Krishna cannot live without his happiness. It's miserable. When we are not happy, we are depressed. Correct? Correct me if I am wrong. We are very depressed, and because we are lacking something. Even though we have all the pleasures of the world, sometimes I see on Facebook celebrities, you know, they've got everything. They've got beautiful wife or husband. They've got plenty of money, but still they're not happy. Why? Because the most important thing in the heart of someone is the happiness, is the closest intimate phenomena, energy. But at the same time, if you have nothing and you are a happy man or happy lady, you got everything. So Krishna, he expand Srimati Radharani. She comes out as a personality and becomes Vipralamba. That's why he's always searching for her. She's always searching for him. Hey Radhe Brajade Vrinde. Even the Goswami, they understood the mood of Krishna. Lord Chaitanya was always searching for Krishna. Was Radharani coming as a devotee, searching for Krishna. And Krishna is always searching for Radharani. It's like when you let this happiness go. And then when they meet, becomes Sambhoga. Here they're meeting again. Lord Krishna and the 16,000 wives. There is wives, there is possessions. There is no need to envy the Lord. I was giving a class at the National Sangitan Festival in Italy. And I was mentioning, you know, one of my friends became Franciscan monk. I was a Catholic priest before, but he became a Franciscan monk. Now he's passed away. And he's the brother of Tarun Krishna. You know, the Italian devotee, Tarun Krishna. And so I tried to preach to him, gave him Bhagavad Gita. He was a vegetarian and everything. But he got stuck, you know, in Krishna book, why God has to enjoy 16,000, so many wives, 16,108 wives. Why? He couldn't understand why God, if his purity principle, why does he have to have so many wives? So and I was explaining to him this phenomena. So he couldn't take up Krishna consciousness because, you know, he was seeing God as a debauchee. It's like the philosophy of the Nidra Narayan. If Narayan is austere, poor, then I worship him. Like many Hindus, you know, they worship the Vidyapati. He worshipped, you know, before the Lord became Lord Jagannath, it was something else. Nilamadava. Huh? Nilamadava. And he was worshipping with just future party, some flowers. But then the Lord said, okay, half of the life of Lord Brahma, the Lord, he changed his position. From being worshipped very simple, then he wants to be the other half, which is this half We are on the second half of the life of Lord Brahma. He likes to be worshipped as the Lord of the universe. So he told Vidyapati, from now on I want to be worshipped by the best man and with opulence. And my name shall be Jagannath, the Lord of the universe. Vidyapati didn't like it. Because the Acharya, they explained, you know, this is the philosophy of the Dhanidra Narayan. If Narayan is poor, then I worship him. I like him. Just like when we see a sannyasi who is very renounced. Renunciation is a very beautiful, attractive quality. Then we worship that sannyasi. A yogi. People in India, they worship the Naga Baba, they worship the, why? Because they've got nothing. But that's not the qualification to be a great personality. The Lord, the great devotee worships the Lord in all his opulence. And so therefore, Nilamadava said to Vidyapati, I want to be worshipped by the best man. And who is the best man in the world, usually? The top man, who is it? Top of the army and generals and monarchy. Who is that? The king. That's why he wanted to be worshipped by King Indrajumna. By the best man and by, in a best way, opulent. That's Lord Jagannath. When we give up our envy towards the Lord, that's when we become great devotees. The Lord maybe comes, you know, as a mendicant, like the Indra, Upendra, Vamanadev, the son of Indra. Vamanadev, that's Lord Krishna, he comes as Brahmachari. So we worship him like that. But if he comes as a Jagannath, we also worship him like that. So there is nothing wrong for Krishna to enjoy his own properties. If there is something wrong for us, if we cannot, that means envy. We are envying the Lord. So we have to be very careful. And very often the Lord, he had to bear so much criticism, even of being defamed. Krishna book, we saw the story. He was trying, you know, to get the Jamantaka jewel back to Indrajit. But then somehow or another it got stolen. And who got the blame? Lord Krishna. And it pained his heart. Defamation. It pained his heart. He felt pain. Because, you know, when you didn't do anything and someone is accusing you of something that you haven't done, what do they say? Bhagavad Gita, Krishna himself, he says, dishonor is worse than death. For someone who has known honor, Krishna is honorable because he makes no mistakes. Apurusheya. There is no mistake that you can find in all the thinking, speaking, and doing of the Lord. Apurusheya means nothing is by mistake, even though sometimes it appears to be a mistake. Like, you know, when he threw the arrow like a coward and he killed Bali Maharaj, the brother of Sugriva. He got criticized for hitting him from behind to his shoulder. But he did it for a purpose. It was not a mistake. Because Bali, very immorally, he took the wife of Sugriva and enjoyed immorally. And that's when Bali Maharaj, he became a Mahajan, Krishna, Lord Ramachandra, made him understand. But so this fame, we have to be careful before we make defame someone, a devotee, especially a devotee. It's very painful. I've been through myself something like that recently. You know. And it pains the heart because you know you haven't done anything wrong, but then there are things, there are people, they make allegations. Anyway, let's not bring this here. But this is called when we have, when we make assumptions or defame someone, it's Vaishnava aparad. And it's not forgiven by the Lord. Not forgiven. I'm always very careful on that. Before judging someone, first of all, we are not in the position of judging anybody. The judgment should be done by Krishna or by superior devotees, leaders. But they have to be very careful, because if leaders, they're wrong, they'll get the reaction. Jai Shishi Radha Gokulananda Kija. What is the very first offense of the holy name? We recite every day. Sadhuninda. What is it? Tell it in Sanskrit. What's the first offense? Sadhuninda. To offend a Vaishnava, a devotee who has dedicated his life to the propagation of the holy name. Not devotee should be offended. Not even a so-called karmis. We sometimes think that we are better than them. Just because we are initiated. Or just because we are vegetarian. They eat meat, they must be demons. But Lord Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita says, one who preaches my message to my devotees, right? Correct? He doesn't say to my karma, to my demons. Because everyone is a devotee of Krishna. And nobody deserves to be treated badly, defamed, unjustly, unless a proper process, you know, it's you know, you have like in the, even in the system outside, the court, magistrate, they only judge someone and give a sentence for someone to go to prison, only if they have witness or evidence. Things like that. But if there is none of this, then there is no judgment. Correct? You can't judge someone and then afterwards you find out whether or not it's true. The judgment should never come before. It's like putting on a coat and then the t-shirt on top. First comes, you know, the testimony, the evidence, that's the t-shirt. The judgment is the coat, the dress. So Krishna was defamed like that. Without evidence, he was defamed for stealing the Shamantaka jewel. And it pained his heart. So if God goes through that, to speak of us. But, you know, Param Satyam Vijayate. Truth always comes up. Correct? Always. By the will of the Lord. Because he loves his devotees and he always makes the truth coming up. What did he say to Arjuna in the Bhagavad Gita? Please proclaim boldly that my devotee will never perish. Draupadi was saved by Krishna. Her integrity was saved by Krishna. Everyone else who kept, even when you keep quiet, when you know that an injustice has been done, and you keep quiet, you are implicated. Bhishma Dev, he kept quiet. Dronacharya, Kripacharya. Everyone kept it, but they were all, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur said, because of that, they all have to be killed by the Pandavas, by the will of Krishna, for the insult to Draupadi. Except one. Who was it? Except one who spoke up, and he was not even a, you know, who was it? You know, it was one of the Kauravas. You probably know Nandana. Vidura, yes, he went away disgusted. He didn't even want to get involved with the Yuyutsu, that's the one. Because he spoke up and Duryodhana rejected him. Was the one of the 100 brothers of Duryodhana. One of the 100 sons of Dhritarashtra. He spoke up. This is an injustice to treat these poor women like this. And then at the time when the battle of Kurukshetra took place, Yuyutsu, he went on the other side. He fought in favor of the Pandavas against the Kauravas. And he was the only Kauravas left alive. Why? Because Krishna says, my devotee will never perish. And he was a devotee of Krishna. He could understand, you know, between dharma and adharma. We have to make choice in life. We can't keep quiet. We have to take, if you don't want to take sides, then do like Vidura. Like, you know, I was talking to Ekavarna yesterday, very nice. He said, you know, when he sees that some atmosphere becomes hot, he goes to India. Chanting, reading, goes out preaching. That is the way. We have to keep away from politics. Politics, it burns the consciousness. It transforms you in a demoniac devotee. Then what's the point of wearing a dirty kurta? What is the point? It's more honest to be out there rather than pretending to be a devotee and being against devotees. I came up with a new prayers recently. I've been praying a lot to the deities. My dear Lord, please protect me from your devotees. That's my prayer. Sometimes we have to do it. It's, you know, it's a world of strong Maya, Kali, enters in the mind of everybody. Even it could enter in the mind of the devotee. We are not 100% all the time Krishna conscious. Sometimes we are misled by bad association. Unless we are very strong in our chanting, in our sincerity, in our preaching, in our devotion to Krishna, and honest with ourselves. If we are not, if we're not practicing properly, if we have a shallow, you know, relationship with our devotees, shallow relationship with the japa, the holy name, we're taken by Maya. Kali will come and dwells on our head and then makes us thinking that I am a good devotee. But we have to see the way we think, we speak, and we do things. And if he is pleasing Lord Krishna. And I'm going to close the class with last statement. The thing that pleases Lord Krishna the most is when we worship and love devotees and love everybody and never try to judge anyone. Prabhupada didn't come to the West to judge. He came to deliver. He came to deliver all of us. We were all mlechas. He didn't judge us. He didn't deride. I said on the festival here, they asked me, what is the secret to life sankirtan, to go out every day? The secret is when you see someone higher than you, you serve and worship that person. That means advanced devotees. When you see someone equal to you, then you make friendship with that person, devotee. When you see someone younger, then you are compassionate. You help that devotee. But Prabhupada, you read that purport. It's instruction, Narada Muni to Dhruva Maharaj. Read that purport. Prabhupada said, all the problems in the world, it's because we do the other way around. We exercise our relationship the other way around. When we see someone higher than us, more advanced, instead of serving, we envy that person. And when we see someone equal, instead of making friendship and exchanging realization, we challenge, compete. And when we see someone less, younger devotees, or less advanced, instead of being compassionate, we deride that devotee. Deride the mistakes they make. That's not pleasing to Krishna. And Prabhupada said, these are the root cause of all the problems in the world. If we learn these three types of relationship, then you become perfect devotee. And Krishna will always protect you. Okay, I'll stop here. Thank you very much. Any question? We'll leave 5 minutes for, yes, Prayojana Prabhu, and then.
It occurs to me that Lord Chaitanya, when he got married, I think for a second time, he had everybody come, and the rich people, the poor people, everyone. But what he did, and if they were greedy, he'd give them even more. Yeah. He didn't care. Give them.
Yes.
Give him.
Yeah, it was abundant mercy.
It was very funny.
Yeah.
And then, I thought, give them what they want, because that's what they'll get.
Yes. Thank you, Prayaj. Yeah, you helped me to remember something very interesting. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, no matter who we are, if we offend a Vaishnav, Lord, he rejects us. Sachimata, the mother of God, great devotee. Sachimata, Jai Sachinandana. We chant, these names every day. Jai Sachinandana, Jai Sachina. The mother of God. But she had a little trace of enmity towards Advaitacharya. Lord Chaitanya, he was not happy with her. Doesn't matter who you are, the best friend of Krishna. Bhishma Dev was one of the Mahajan, but he also made an offense and he had to be punished. So Sachimata had to apologize to Advaitacharya. This is all pastimes to illustrate, no matter how higher the position is, position of a pope, a position of a guru, a position of a acharya. If you make an offense to a devotee, then Krishna is not pleased. Durvasa Muni, great personality. Who is Durvasa Muni? He's an expansion of Lord Shiva. And he made an offense to Ambarish Maharaj. Lord Shiva, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, because he's almost God, the closest one to Krishna. But these are all pastimes to teach us, you know, what to do and what not to do. You can have the highest position, but if you make an offense to a simple devotee of Krishna, Ambarish, Lord Vishnu could not do anything. He said, you go back, I can't give you a shelter, and take a shelter of him and beg for forgiveness. Sorry, there was another hand over there. Yes.
Hey Krishna, thank you for the class. It's not a question, I have three clarifications on three different points you made, if that's okay. Krishna married the 16,000 captive women of the demon because they were all fallen. They had no hope of getting a proper marriage, so it would all be damned. So he said, okay, I'll marry all of you and that'll be fine. Radharani was married to Abhimayu so she wouldn't fall under Kamsa's radar and he'd have no idea of how important she is to the Lord. And you said that we shouldn't judge. Well, you can judge in order to determine something for yourself. So you can say to yourself, I don't like the way that this person does this thing, so I won't do it that way. I'll do my own thing. But you can't judge to condemn. You can't then turn around and say,
very good, yes,
this person
correct
is to be condemned because they're doing
yes
it differently. When I'm watching the Tulsi Puja every day, and the devotees come out and they make the offerings, they all do it slightly differently. But if they're doing it with bhakti, if they're doing it with love of Krishna, that's the important thing. That's what matters. Krishna doesn't want 100 little robots doing exactly the same thing every day.
Correct.
He wants us to be our own individual, spontaneous, loving self toward him.
I like that. You know, you went even farther. Judgment, but without condemnation. Because sometimes, you know, we tend to, you know, judge someone the way we see things, and then we keep a little bit, you know, reserved, but without making a propaganda and you know, creating a rumor, false allegation, and then destroy. Condemnation means destroying the reputation of, like, you know, Indrajit, he could have told, maybe Krishna stole the Jamataka jewel. He could have gone to Krishna and said, did you steal the Jamataka jewel by any chance? That was not that bad. That's not judgment. That means straightforward, you know, inquiry. But he went around. He didn't work with Krishna, but he worked around Krishna. And he spread the rumor, the false rumor, that Krishna was the thief. And that's why he destroyed, trying to destroy the reputation of the Lord. That means condemnation. When you condemn someone, you have given, you know, like, is it like an execution? You're like the judge, the jury, and the executioner. Executing means condemnation. Thank you very much. I like that. Yes, let's see if there's any ladies. There's a Mataji there. Let's give a chance to the Mataji and then. Thank you for your insight.
Hare Krishna. Sorry for my bad English. When a devotee feels judged and suffers, that suffering, is it a symptom that his false ego has been offended?
Not at all. Krishna, it says in Krishna book, he pained his heart because he was judged. So the same feeling, it's there. You know, if someone makes an allegation to the temple president, for example, which is not true, I'm pretty sure that the temple president feels pain in the heart. You know, because of the wonderful service she's doing, and then sometimes, you know, a lie can kill the reputation of that person. It kills the soul. Kripa Moy Prabhu told me once, a lie has the power of killing the soul. And then you feel, you know, what's the use of remaining in this body? Sometimes you feel, you know, because For someone who's known, honor, dishonor is worse than death. Krishna says in the Gita, it's natural to feel pain in the heart. It's not false or ego. If you haven't done it, but if you are guilty of such a thing, then a devotee accept it. He accept, you know, the correction, and with his humility, you know, he accept it, and he doesn't rebel against it. But when you haven't done something, and you are accused for something that you haven't done, then, you know, it pains the heart. Does it make sense?
Yes.
It's not false ego.
Thank you very much.
There was something else, and then we go for breakfast. Tarun, you wanted, it was you or was it? Oh, Tarun, the great sage of Bhaktivedanta Manor. I'm always interested in his comment. Tarun, say something.
Seems to me he doesn't want, but I was thinking reflection. I may upset somebody, but the fact is, in your nice presentation, that we may be totally convinced that there's nothing wrong with us, and we may be also be in big illusion. This, I mean, I experienced myself. So when something is arranged, it's like, Krishna didn't arrange this for no reason. So it takes deep, deep reflection and asking how this is true. Because in attempt to refute, we maybe also offend somebody. And also for superiors to tell us actually about us, they're mostly distant, they are not around, they don't observe our faults. But people around, which we even call inferior, they can better see us. So in that sense, we may be wrong also. It needs long time and prayer, and this will be revealed and accept. Krishna didn't arrange this for no reason. It's just this kind of my experience. So it's not just one black and white. That's my take on. There's something there in us which we have to uproot, and Krishna arranges. We need some time to realize. We may be in illusion, even we feel hurt. So this I went through many times. And
it's all purification.
I'm happy that I grew from.
So it's a purification.
Yeah. So it's not for no reason. Like, it's not,
of course.
Why Krishna arranges that? There's something there which we just not aware of. Our behavior, our attitude, or obviously something which comes from us, and others see we don't. So then, painful, but you know, I'm thankful to go through this pain so many times.
And you've been
going
through
in daily so many times, and I'm going daily. You know, so often I realize it's fault, and I'm struggling. Sometimes I don't, but after some time.
That's humility. When you go through fire and you carry on walking forward, you know.
It comes from different sources, not just from one. It must be there something. As I say, we are in illusion of ourselves. And then it's a long way to go. So slowly accept that and expect that. That's my take on it.
You had something, Prabhuji? Yeah.
So, if we speak to others about a particular situation, about a devotee, without mentioning their name, for the sake of just seeking advice, then is that still an offense if we don't mention the name? Because the intention is not to condemn that person, but to seek advice regarding a situation that involved that person. So would that still be considered an offense?
No. It's okay. As long, you know, it doesn't become personal. If it's a general thing, just for your own upliftment, to seek advice, that's fine. That's fine, yeah. But then when we come up with the names, you know, and twisted stories, there are always, then goes around, and people who don't like that name, then they make it worse. And then they pass it around, and then again, other people who don't like that person, that name, they twist it even more. Things, they get twisted, get worse and worse, and that's how the rumor, that's how defamation becomes, you know, condemnation. So it's better to not, you know, Jesus Christ said, speak about the sin, but not the sinner. Isn't it? You talk about, you know, the activity, but not about the person. Because we are all guilty in this world. All right. So thank you very much. And Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Hari Bol.